539th installment of
Armbar.
If you haven't noticed, we make that number up every week. It's not a real number.
Do we have a number every week? I don't remember.
Huh? Every other week. I don't know. When I feel like it, I make a number up. So, it's the go-home Raw show for Clash of Champions, which, you know, you don't expect much to happen in these shows. Just, you know, further push some rivalries. But there were some entertaining spots in this Raw, like Rollins going further and further face.
Yep.
Which is good. I think we'll do our predictions later, but I think Triple H interferes, costs him the title, and he's going to feud with Triple H, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that they were leading toward anyway until, you know, Rollins got hurt, obviously.
Right, so I think they're going to pick it up. It's not going to be a Mania match. I think Survivor Series, maybe?
Yeah, that's the next big one, right?
Yeah, so we'll do predictions for Clash of Champions in a minute, but that was the big thing. Like, that's just what I'm feeling from this whole thing. And also, Kevin Owens continues to heal it up. Like, immediately in his cage match with Roman Reigns, he ran for the door, yeah. Which is a heel move. And also kind of a smart move because, you know, he's got a championship match.
Yeah, exactly.
He profits nothing from beating Reigns or losing to Reigns.
Yeah.
It can only, especially being in a steel cage, it can only hurt him.
Yes, so exactly.
So I'd get out of there. And you know what they should have done? And it would have been great. I think it would have been a better heel move if he just opened the door and let Roman Reigns walk out. It's like, I'm not doing this match. I got a title defense on Sunday.
That would have been better. I wish they did that now. Damn it.
See, I should book the WWE.
You should. Because it'd be better than whoever's doing some of the booking.
And then Dana Brooke continued to dig her hole deeper with Charlotte by pointing out to Mick Foley it was a double pin with Bayley and Sasha. And so then Mick made it a triple threat match on Sunday instead of no opponent for Charlotte. So Charlotte wasn't too happy about that. But Dana did get the distraction for Charlotte to pin Bayley. So it's kind of weird. Like, I don't like seeing Bayley lose, but at the same time, that was her shtick in NXT as being the underdog. That's how she got over, was being the underdog. And to be the underdog, you got to lose. So, I mean, she has to lose. And I think this is Sasha's time. And then I think I don't want to see Sasha turn heel and then her and Bayley fight. I would like to see a rivalry with two faces. I don't know why people have a problem with that. I like it when two faces go at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that's nice about two faces going at each other, A, there's always that chance for a heel turn by one of the faces.
Yeah.
And B, it's really hard to predict sometimes face-versus-face matches.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine it's very hard to predict. I mean, granted, back when the Iron Man match happened, the original one, we were a little young, so we weren't quite as good at guessing the outcomes.
Yeah, and it was still kind of real to us at the time.
Oh, yeah, so. That too. But it was you know, I was rooting for, I mean, I'm sure we were both rooting for Shawn Michaels.
I mean, we were at that age where we were teetering on where we think this is fake, but how could they do that and not kill somebody? You know, how could they do that and, like...
What do you mean it's fake?
Oh, Nelson, we'll have a talk after the podcast is over.
What?
I'm sorry. But yeah, so I mean, there's always those things when you're at certain ages, when you get older. But that's all I can remember. Oh, the best part of Raw wasn't even aired on the WWE Network or USA TV. It was during the commercial break right before the 10-man tag on Xavier Woods'
I caught a glimpse of that when you were watching channel.
It. he was showing the bra on the ring. And let me give you his Snapchat name. I got to find it in my phone real quick. Because Xavier Woods is just awesome. He gets it. I would dedicate a whole show to Xavier Woods if we had the time. His Snapchat name is Used Food. No space, just Used Food.
Well, I'm going to have to
USEDFOOD. So exactly how it sounds is how it's spelled. He was just Snapchatting that match. I mean, Xavier Woods gets it. Xavier Woods is ahead of the curve when it comes to social media and things like that.
By the way, that's a gross name. Used Food.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's going there with that, but, you know, whatever. I give Xavier Woods the benefit of doubt all the time.
Yes. Indubitably.
But before the 10-man tag, the best part of Raw that night was Jericho's list. What I like about what this incarnation of Jericho's been doing,
mm-hmm.
is he's been reimagining his old stuff. He's like he's rebooting it, basically, if we're going to use a movie term. He's remaking and rebooting. So it takes this list was, it harkened back to his Man of 1,004 Holds gimmick, where he's just reading the list. Like, you make the list. It's hilarious. And when he yelled it at the fans who were wadding him, that was great. What'd you say? What? You're on the list. The dude is brilliant. And this might be some of Jericho's best work since late WCW, early WWE work for Jericho, as far as just...
Oh, I loved his late WCW work. That was fantastic. And it's a shame that it was just mismanaged and to the point where he just wanted out of his contract.
No, I loved it because he was on the first hour, so I was able to watch that and not miss any WWE.
Well, I mean, I still loved it. I'm just saying, from a business standpoint,
After Sting beat Hogan at Starrcade,
mm-hmm.
I think after that, I didn't give two shits about the NWO at that point. All I cared was watching the Cruiserweights on the 8 o'clock hour.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as Raw came on at 9, the only time I ever flipped back to WCW was either during commercial break for Raw or if it was a shitty Divas match or a match that I had no care about. Other than that, I was glued to Raw.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so everybody started to come out for that. It was fun. It's just kind of like impromptu match, kind of BS, but... Excuse me. It was hilarious. So kudos to Xavier Woods for Snapchatting that. That was hilarious. So that's all I got for Raw, really. Can you think of anything else from Raw?
No, because I think I found SmackDown more entertaining.
SmackDown has been more entertaining for the last few weeks.
Yeah. Basically, whenever the New Day shows up or Kevin Owens or Seth Rollins, I kind of zone out. Sometimes I'll pay attention to End Zone Cast.
Why are you zoning out for Seth Rollins?
No, I mean, I zone out if it's not one of
those. Oh, if it's not them. Okay.
If it's not those people.
I was like, you just named all the top people.
Yeah, what? If it's not those people, I kind of zone out. I won't zone out for Bayley or Sasha, but other than that, I'm like, it's...
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, the women's division on Raw bores me.
It's not as good right now as it's
no offense to the women working it at all.
It's just the storylines are just
the storylines are boring, and they've added Bayley, but this Sasha Charlotte thing has been going on for over a year now.
Yeah,
with very little intermediate. Like Becky kind of got her shot, and then it got taken away by Natty. The women's division in SmackDown is way more interesting because A, you've got a bunch of new faces and faces that haven't really gotten a push. And with Alexa Bliss, and we'll get to that when we talk about SmackDown, she might be my favorite woman's heel ever.
Wow, that's a bold statement. Granted,
I don't know what
yours would have been beforehand.
Her actions during that signing were great. We'll get to that. Oh, mm-hmm. One thing we did leave out was the Brian Kendrick is now your number one contender. For the Cruiserweight.
I forgot about the Cruiserweight match. I was actually falling asleep at that point because I was tired.
I did fall asleep, and I only caught up on stuff the next day because I was exhausted.
I know what they were trying to do by having the Cruiserweights on last. They're trying to,
Oh, did they go on last?
Yeah, they were the last match.
Because I think I fell asleep about 10 o'clock.
At least I'm pretty sure they were the last match.
You know what, Raw? Go like SmackDown, 8 to 10. That's all I have energy for. I'm old.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know you want to build
Steven
them up.
Unlike Steven Larson, we're not on the West Coast. Yeah, we can't watch it from 5 to 8.
Oh, that would be great. I could watch that. Rush Hour home, because it's Sling TV for me.
Yeah, you just put on the Sling TV. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how safe that is. Don't watch TV and drive, kids.
I don't watch the TV. I listen to it.
But, yeah, so SmackDown, not a whole hell of a lot going on there other than John Cena losing cleanly to Dean Ambrose, which is nice because it makes Ambrose look strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they're going to keep the strap on AJ. I don't think Cena's beaten him. I think if Cena ties Flair, it's going to be at a big pay-per-view. I don't think it's going to be at one of the SmackDown pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that remains to be seen. I think keeping it on a heel AJ for a while is probably better for SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since I think he's the most over person on SmackDown right now.
Yeah, probably. I can't think of anybody else.
Which also makes me feel they need to bring, when they bring Shinsuke up, bring him to SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
How would you like to see, in a WWE ring, because they fought before, Shinsuke versus AJ?
That would definitely be something to behold.
How about this? Shinsuke versus John Cena.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so just a damn shame. I hope Daniel Bryan shit gets cleared for him. He gets cleared to wrestle in the next 2 years. Because they've got all this talent now coming up complement Daniel Bryan's style so much. Yeah. It'd be great.
I do like what they're doing with The Miz and Ziggler now.
Yeah, they're making us want it because you... I got so excited when I thought Dolph Ziggler was going to win when he hit
that zigzag. And when they snatched it away, he got so angry.
I got so mad, I just started punching Nelson.
Ah, you fucker.
So mad. Yeah, but they're doing it the right way. And I'll tell you one thing, though. The way they're booking this Miz-Ziggler thing, if Ziggler does not win the IC title from him, it's all for nothing. It's just bad booking.
When you have a face
chase like this and he gets screwed, especially two times in a row like that, when he has the match won, and then the feud ends with the heel going over, like Triple H versus Booker T at WrestleMania. It's bad booking and it's a waste of our time.
Oh man.
Because you don't have the face chase like that to not win the belt.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Because that's what we want as fans, regardless if we're super invested in the characters or not, just from an entertainment point of view, eventually the good guy has to win.
Yeah, you know, they had me fooled too. Not as badly as you.
That is the second time with Ziggler going for the IC title that they've done that. Because I remember that Raw when he was facing Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
That match stole not only the show, but that might have been my match of the year that year. That was 2-3 years ago, Monday Night Raw in Washington, D.C. That was a hell of a match. So many false finishes. It was a great match. It's my favorite Wade Barrett match ever. That's for damn sure. Because I don't really care when Wade Barrett's in the ring. I wanted to like Wade Barrett, but...
Yeah, it's one of those things where you want to like the guy.
Just like I want to like Cesaro, and I just can't get behind Cesaro, and I really want to see him lose to Sheamus on Sunday.
I hate you. I'm in the Cesaro
section. Speaking of that, we need a pen and paper so we can actually write down our picks when we make them so I don't have to re-listen to the podcast for a second time. Had to do that last time. Which, I don't know, I think we mentioned it. Just leave it in the thing I need something to write on, dude. Just trying to tear up paper. Killing me, Sason.
Or you can use one of those misprinted resumes of mine that I don't use.
Yeah, I'm just going to use this page where I already have it marked up from our last time.
Alrighty then.
But the best part of SmackDown, other than that Intercontinental match, was easily the contract sign at the very beginning.
That was
Alexis
good.
Bliss healed it up. Oh, she is so fantastic as a heel. Because like I said, I liked her coming into the WWE, and I liked what I'd seen of her beforehand, but after this promo she cut... Man, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. I'm dying. After that promo she cut on My Girl Becky, just saying that she's not made to be a champion, she wasn't born to be a champion, all that stuff. It's just like, oh my gosh, she's just... And, like, she was so devious as a heel without being smarmy, without getting cheap heat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of it was just she's legitimate. Just
good.
She's
just good.
She is a bitch.
And I rest, love... I'm hashtag sorry. Resting bliss, bliss face.
Yeah, she's a bliss. It's just brilliant, and I love her. Yeah. And I cannot not sing enough praises of her.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know what I have been actually... surprisingly getting into that, I just realized it. I think with the exception of the New Day on Raw, I think I actually like the tag team division better on SmackDown. Because, I mean, the match with the Usos and American Alpha was really good. It was a sound match. But Heath Slater and Rhino are freaking hilarious. And it's a shame you missed that part while they were watching the Uso match. Where Rhino's just sitting in the back with Heath Slater, and Rhino's eating his Ritz crackers, and over the shoulder comes Heath Slater with the cheese whiz right on the crackers. Oh, man, I can't get enough of those two. It's so hilarious to me. And I want Kurt Angle to come in, you know, for the obvious reasons, but I also want a little bit of interaction between him and Rhino.
Why do none of your pens work, Sason?
Because some of those pens are old as hell. I would try...
This one's working.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you try this one, but you got that working. Oh, the one that was in the folder isn't working? Damn it.
No, it's done.
That's my good pen. Damn it. All right. I'll have to get something for that.
But trying to think what else was big on SmackDown that I can think of. Like we said, John Cena losing cleanly on TV. That hasn't happened God knows how long.
Yeah, someone had an actual article about that. There's like, when was the last time John Cena lost cleanly on Oh, here it is. When did John Cena last lose cleanly on a TV match? And then they talked about a Jericho podcast.
You can look it up.
Ooh, jeez.
When was it?
2009. On an episode of Raw to Triple H. Of course,
Shocker Triple H.
Of course, Triple H. Yes, yes. And while you're setting that up, some other news. Cody Rhodes' official TNA debut revealed.
No, I'm sorry, Cody. Though, the irony of that is there's rumors that WWE is about to buy TNA.
Really?
They want the tapes for, like, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. And,
of course they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they...
I mean, that's the main reason why they bought WCW. Mm. It wasn't to own WCW. It was to own the tapes.
Yeah.
So...
Plus, they were in almost the exact same position as TNA is now. Well, sucks for him. Or them. Whatever.
I think with the right booking, Cody would come back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there and also Ring of Honor.
Well, I mean, sucks for TNA. Cody Rhodes can go anywhere.
Yeah. Ring of Honor is also trying to buy TNA. So, there's a bunch of people trying to buy TNA. I think TNA just needs to fold and die. I don't know why anybody... Like... I think TNA would have a better chance of selling their assets if they didn't try to sell the company. They just sold the tapes and the name.
Yeah, definitely.
Liquefy everything else and just sell the tapes and the name.
Yeah, because, I mean, WWE would snatch up whatever they... I mean, honestly, the WWE could snatch up the entire thing if they really, really wanted to.
Because that's the thing. Like, I was listening to Jim Cornette talk about WCW could have been sold for a lot more money. But the guy who was in charge of it for Turner Broadcasting or Time Warner was an idiot, blah, blah, blah. I was like, Jim, you don't understand business. They were losing so much money on WCW. It wasn't about trying to sell to the highest bidder. It was trying to get it off the books. And they were and the thing is, like, all the money they lost, it was a tax write-off, which is more valuable to a multi-billion dollar company than selling WCW for like $30 million. Because he was like, they sold it to WWE for $2 million, they could have gotten $30 million. It's like, but the tax write-off they got for selling for $2 million to the WWE was, I guarantee, greater than $30 million. Which is, Jim, why every wrestling organization you've run has gone out of business because you don't know business. Jim, you might know wrestling, you don't know business.
Jim, man to man, I just need to tell you. AOL Time Warner didn't give a shit about the lineage, the business, the history, what it all meant to wrestling fans. They just wanted it gone.
They wanted it off their books.
Exactly. So, you can bitch and moan about the past all you want, because you do that all the time, from what I hear. It's not going to change the fact that they just wanted to get rid of it. It's like when we had a yard sale.
Yeah.
All that stuff was like a dollar.
Yeah, if I wanted to go through the trouble of like eBay and shit like that, I could have sold a lot of stuff for more money.
I still have a bunch of comics because I didn't sell any.
But I didn't want to go through the trouble. I just wanted it gone and out of my house.
Exactly.
So I sold it a lot cheaper. That's what a liquidation is.
It's not that hard to grasp.
I know, exactly.
So, stop living the past.
Yeah, live in the now, Jim. Live in the now. But not much happening. Can you think of any other news this week? Like any dirt sheet stuff?
Well, I mean, apparently Bret Hart went into more depth and kind of, I guess he kind of backpedaled a little bit about his commentary on Seth Rollins for the past couple of months on the Booker T podcast, which I didn't know he had a podcast.
I knew Booker T had a podcast, but I can only listen to Booker T for so long.
Why is that, sucker?
I think it's his voice mostly.
I can understand it.
But
I liked him on commentary, but that's about it.
Yeah. So also there was a thing I saw today that Summer Rae was injured. Mm. I didn't even realize she was still with the company.
Who?
Summer Rae.
Oh yeah, yeah. She actually, I didn't know if she was still with the company.
I guess she does like PR stuff, because we haven't seen her on TV since before the draft.
Yeah, apparently she's been rocking a neck brace lately.
Get well soon.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I wanted to bring up from the Jericho podcast when he was talking to Kevin Owens. Outside of Kevin Owens calling his family and his parents, the first person he called was Finn Balor. He FaceTimed him.
Nice.
And he said Finn just had a huge smile and was so happy for him. Mm. And he said that's what made it feel real to me. That's what made me feel good about winning the title. Because even though he didn't know Finn before Finn got to NXT or before before KO got to NXT, he was just saying like, you just can't help but like the guy, and we got along great. It was like him and Sammy were like the three amigos basically.
Yeah,
and what he was also saying, he was being more elaborate about Finn Balor, saying that he was so glad that the 2 years Finn Balor spent in NXT counted towards his main roster time.
Yeah,
in the WWE, and which is good because that makes. That's good. That's A, good for Finn Balor, because A, the WWE shows him, it's like, hey, how you built, because NXT was building, but NXT got built on the back of Finn Balor. Finn Balor, once he became a big star in NXT, that's when NXT went from like below Ring of Honor but above TNA level, to basically almost at WCW levels right before the Monday Night Wars. NXT, like, most wrestling fans, like, your hardcore wrestling fans watched NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Your more casual wrestling fans didn't.
I watched it from time to time, myself.
Yeah, Finn Balor made it must-see TV on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I wished, back when he was down there, I wished it wasn't at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch it later on. But that's the thing, it's like, and the WWE rewarding Finn Balor for the work he did, helping to build, NXT, and I think Triple H had a lot to do with him getting his push quickly in the WWE. And it also shows how the fans appreciate it, too, because when Roman Reigns got his quick push, he got booed out of the building.
Yeah.
When Finn Balor got announced for that match, people went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
When he won the Fatal 4-Way, people went nuts.
Yeah.
When he beat Roman Reigns, people went nuts.
Oh, yeah.
They would have gone really nuts if they didn't dislike the belt so much.
Yes.
Here's a note.
I think we're over it.
We're over it. I actually like the belt. The more I've seen it, I like it. But WWE, here's a rule of thumb for that. When you're bringing out a new title like that, let's unveil it before the pay-per-view, because it does kind of spoil the victory for the person who wins it, especially if it's a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Now, granted, if you're going to put that belt on a monster heel, and it's ugly, wait till that night, because then that just makes the booze.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to get the right reaction from the crowd.
Yeah, which also kind of pissed me off about Brooklyn, too. It's like, you know what? You disliked the belt. You tried to hijack. That was a hell of a main event. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, freaking
Finn Balor
pulled his fucking arm back in the place. Yeah,
that's why I can't stand wrestling fans sometimes. It's they get, I don't know, if they just get butthurt. They try to hijack shows. It's like when you hear these CM Punk chants, we're 2 years out. And remember, granted, it wasn't the best working environment, but CM Punk walked out on the WWE. It's not like Vince McMahon just fired him.
Oh, yeah.
He walked out. He
tried to get him back as far as we know.
Yeah. And I think that because Vince McMahon will not turn down money.
Exactly. It's just like what CM Punk said. He just, you know, he's a millionaire who, honestly, he should be a billionaire.
He's right at being a billionaire.
Yeah.
I mean, we're honestly, it's like with Vince McMahon being a billionaire, we're only talking a few million. It's not.
Oh, yeah. He's got more money than me. I don't know that much.
The difference between Vince McMahon being a millionaire and a billionaire is the difference between me and you deciding, let's not eat at Chili's tonight. Let's go to Roost Chris.
Well, there's that.
So that's pretty much the difference there.
Yeah.
So, and as much as I love Punk and we were rooting for him in his UFC fight, he can be a boo but a bit a bitch sometimes. Like, that's the one thing about Punk, especially if the rumors of him, pretty much knocking away his friendship with Colt Cabana, because Colt Cabana went to a taping of Raw and was backstage taking pictures with guys. If he's going to cut off a friendship because of that, CM Punk needs to get over himself a little bit. I mean, he's the kind of person who, if he loves you, he loves you, but I think he can be bitter and take things a little too seriously sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't know him, so I'm not going to make that judgment on him, but that's just the way he comes off sometimes when he gets kind of bitter about things.
Yeah. I respect the hell out of him, but I do agree with what you're saying on that.
Yeah, so let's get to our picks for Clash of the Champions, because I know that's what everybody means. We still have to work on something. Maybe we'll only do it for the Big Four, where we like have some sort of wager. We got to think of something. But this is in no particular order. This is what I was grabbing off the website. But I'm going to start with this one because I'm sure it's going to be on the pre-show. Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax.
Oh, Nia Jax.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're both in agreement on that one.
I was like, Alicia Fox, A, hasn't won a match since she was teamed up with the Bellas. B, I don't know when she's won her last
And Nia Jax ain't losing to her.
No.
Nia Jax won't lose until she faces either Bayley or Sasha.
Or they bring back Karma.
That's a rumor, but we'll have to see.
Is that a rumor?
It's a loose rumor.
I thought she was retired, but I don't know.
No, she was recently in TNA. I only know that because I heard someone talking about the rumor recently? That I heard. Yeah.
Okay.
They said recently. I don't know how recent. Yeah. They just said recent. Rusev versus Reigns. I'll let you pick first.
Rusev versus Reigns. You know, I don't think his punishment's done. Rusev.
Rusev?
Yeah.
No, I think Reigns finally goes over. I think they're done. Well, that plus,
how long has this feud been going? Has it been at least a pay-per-view already?
It's been like 3 months. You've already made your pick.
I'm still going with Rusev, yeah. But I'm just like, is it? Okay, whatever. I'm still going with Rusev.
And also, Reigns winning for me also coincides with my championship pick, but we'll get to that. You know what? Who I don't have on there because I didn't see that? New Day versus The Club. I got to add that to the list. Because I didn't see that on there, but I'm sure they have a match. Perkins versus the Brian Kendrick.
Ooh, the new cruiserweights, huh?
I don't think Kendrick wins. I think they're not going to take it off Perkins, the guy who's crown champ.
I think it's too early. I'm going to go with Perkins. I mean, I'm sure. Well, I mean, honestly, because they just announced the winner this past Monday from that Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So it's like, they want to make a program out of it.
It creates a match. They just needed a match for Clash of Champions. Yeah, so.
And I mean, I'm sure they want to have a program out of it, especially if the match is good.
Cesaro versus Sheamus.
Go with Cesaro. Cesaro. Sit in that section.
I'm going to go with Sheamus, and this is why I'm going to go with Sheamus. And I'm glad I went first so you can't change your pick. I think Cesaro's going to go into SmackDown, and I think this is what pushes it to happen.
Well, shit. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen that soon or this soon, just because it seems like that's what they're building for Jack.
And here's the thing. And also, Mick Foley said they get a title shot. Never said what title. So I think Sheamus will then feud with Roman Reigns for the U.S. title.
You got some good points there, sir. Not that I can change my
nope, it's
picks.
Already it's written.
Not that I can change my picks. I wasn't going to anyway.
It's written in ink. Sami Zayn versus Y2J. This is one of the few where I have like I can't say right off the bat like, oh, this is what's gonna happen.
How long is Jericho still in the WWE for? When's he going on hiatus again? Does anybody know?
Since we're out of the summertime, you don't do much concert touring in the winter time.
So he potentially could be there for like another.
Yeah, here's the thing with
months,
Fozzy. Though. They're big in Europe. Mm-hmm. They're not really big in the U.S., so most of his tours are in Europe. And I'm not that familiar with concert schedules, but most metal tours, because they're on metal tours, are outdoor festivals. You ain't doing that in the winter time, so.
That'd be some cold shit.
So I think the window for Fozzy touring, and I don't even think Fozzy's together right now. Because I believe, what's their lead guitarist's name? I know he's the Duke. I just can't think of his name right now.
He's a kick-ass Duke.
Yeah, he's back with Stuck Mojo touring, I think. Mm. Which is why I think we've had Jericho for an extended period. Okay. So I think Fozzy's taking a hiatus.
So,
I don't think he's going
anywhere. Yeah, like, given that,
and he just started selling merch again.
So. I feel like that's definitely a feud that you want to have for a little bit. So I'm going to go with Jericho winning.
You're going with Jericho winning?
Yeah, because it's kind of you really don't have too many feuds with the face winning, in my opinion. Not any good feuds anyway. Not the first match.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is going to be a feud because Jericho really hasn't feuded with anybody, with the exception of AJ.
Yeah,
that's just because they didn't have anything to do with
AJ. But you think about how good these two are as workers.
Yeah,
and you told me yourself that you know reports say that he's really high on Zayn.
Yeah.
I think Zayn will go over, just not at this pay-per-view.
I'm just trying to think what Zayn would do if he didn't feud with Jericho. And I ain't got nothing.
They don't have anything for
me. I ain't got nothing, so I'm going to go with you. Because that was actually my toughest one where I had to think about it. So I'm going to go with you with Jericho. Sasha, Charlotte, Bailey. I'm going to go with Sasha.
Yeah. I would agree with that, just because, I mean, you got Bailey in the mix, but right now, she's not as big a factor.
Yeah, like we
she
talked earlier,
she
needs to be an underdog first, and then she'll finally win. And I think it's Sasha's time, because I think the only reason why Sasha dropped it at SummerSlam was because they weren't sure how long she'd be out with that bag.
Yeah, it was like a precautionary
thing. Yeah, so they had her drop it instead of having her, you know, have to give it up.
Yeah, exactly. Because
they've been doing a little bit too much of that lately with belts. So yeah. I don't think they wanted to
especially
do that.
Especially with Finn Balor the night after he won it. That was upsetting.
So we'll do New Day versus The Club. I got to go with New Day because I said they'd keep the belts until Survivor Series. So I'm going to stick with that long-term prediction.
You know, given the club's booking, I'm going with you on this one because I just don't see it. It's like they grabbed these guys up who had a lot of buzz, a lot of following in Japan, and they're not doing anything with them worthwhile. Like I can't get into them on TV.
I think part of the problem is that WWE doesn't know what to do with factions that they don't start. Because they're kind of fizzling like the NWO. Like, the NWO had Hogan, Hall, and Nash. Hogan went away, and it fizzled out. AJ goes away to a different show. He prospers like Hogan prospered, and this just kind of fizzles out. So
yeah, it's a shame.
I mean, they might get that push, because they're the monster heels on that. And, you know, maybe getting New Day away from the title, you give Enzo and Cass a chance to boost up. Don't they have a match against... Do they face the Rising Stars?
I think they do.
I'm gonna add that on here.
I think they do face the Shining Stars. That's probably it. A pre-show. Yeah. That's probably pre-show.
So we'll do that before we pick our main event. So Enzo and Cass are going over.
I'm gonna go with, really?
I don't see him going. I don't see him losing. So
I feel like, you know, they're gonna slip on their pamphlets and then.
That's not true. if some of these matches that I didn't see on there are on there, this is a pretty stacked card.
Yeah, seems like there's more.
It better live up, because Backlash, for the small card it had, was an awesome pay-per-view.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
balls in your court, Raw. Don't fuck this up.
It's such a small pay-per-view compared
to
this.
So we're going to the main event, KO versus Seth Rollins. And I already called this already. I said Kevin Owens. I think Triple H is going to screw Seth, and he's going to feud with Triple H, which means, oh shit, I don't know who's going to feud with KO after that. It could be Sami Zayn. We could have fucked up our pick there. so I don't think it's going to be Cesaro, but
it's a tough one. I mean, I'm going to go with KO but yeah, he brought up a valid point. Who is KO supposed to feud with next? Because, I mean, with the way you said it, the way you laid it out with Seth Rollins, in my mind now, that's the only way... That's not trash.
No, it's not.
It's the only way you can solidify Seth Rollins as a face to me now. Because he's still kind of teetering, but he's leaning way more toward face. And I feel like a screw job from Triple H really just solidifies him with the audience as a face. So that's the only logical thing. So I'm going to go with KO. But yeah, I don't know
who's... Maybe you're right on Cesaro. Maybe Cesaro wins. And
yeah.
Or maybe you're right about Rusev and Reigns moves on to the title. So the matches to watch for. The Rusev versus Reigns, because we're different on there. Sheamus and Cesaro. That's it. We're all
everything different. Everything else we're pretty much the same on. We're
green on, so...
Yeah. I mean, the only other thing that I can think of that might happen for KO, I had been calling for Jericho to start getting jealous of KO. So they could just take the Jericho Zayn thing that I'm pushing toward or leaning toward and put KO in the mix.
They might, yeah, that could happen. We'll have to see the fallout from Raw and our predictions. So that's the show.
Yes.
Make sure you guys watch on the WDB Network. Clash of the Nerds, Clash of Champions. We need to make a shirt that rips that off.
Isn't that essentially what we're doing now?
No, we're ripping off Kevin Owens.
I have to look at that thing. Yeah.
Now we need to make more wrestling themed and nerd themed shirts. Just the variations of the logo. We'll come up with stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's us just spitballing. But anyways, everybody, good night. Watch wrestling.
Yep. Yeah.